Okay, page 224, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Tezvav, by Sheni. Huh? Sheni. Okay, the story is that Pari had this double dream. He asks all the interpreters, nobody interprets it. They do, but not to his liking. And finally the butler wakes up and he says, by the way, there's this guy with us in prison, and he interpreted our dreams, and he's a great guy. Why don't you call him up? But along the way, he says to him, meanwhile, he's an Eved, and he's Jewish, and he's all the faults that he has. And he says there was a Nod, and an Eved, and an Ivri, all the faults that could possibly be, the butler says. Anyway, so Pari calls him from the pit. They shaved his hair, they put on new clothing, and as we learned last week, that this happened to be on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Yosef was taken out of the prison. Okay, so Sheni Pasuk Tezvav, it says Vayemer Pari El Yosef.
How do we know that it was Rosh Hashanah? Or?
Well, the Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk, but the Balaturim says because Vayechalef Simleisov equals Bechad B'Tishrei. That equals that it happened on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Vayemer Pari El Yosef. Pari says to Yosef, Chalem Chalamti, I had a dream. Upeisid ein eisei, and there's no interpreter for the dream. Va'ani, and I, shamati alecha leimer, I heard about you saying, and what is he emphasizing? I heard, and his Pari says, listen, I'm the king, nobody lies to me, so if they said it to me, it's true. It wasn't somebody else heard. You know, ani shamati alecha, I heard. Okay? And he says, Tishma Chalem, that you know how to hear a dream, lifted Asi to interpret the dream, that you know how to do it. I was told that you would listen to a dream, and this is the uniqueness of it. Part of the interpreting of a dream is to be able to listen to the dream. And that's what Pari says, as the Mefarshim point out, the way you listen to it, that's the way you're able to interpret it. And Bechlau, in trying to help people out, you need to be a good listener. When you're a good listener, then you're able to understand the situation, and that's what Pari is telling him. I heard that you know how to listen to a dream. So it's much deeper than stam hearing a dream. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is like when you talk to your kids. It goes in one ear if you're lucky and out the other. As if you're lucky. Listening is when you understand it. Like Shema doesn't only mean hear, O Israel, it means listen. You should understand it. Okay. Vayan Yosef is Pari Lemer. So Yosef says to Pari, and he answers Pari, and he says, Belodai, it's not me. In other words, as Rashi explains, it's not my wisdom, it's only Elokim Ya'aneh Shleim Pari. Elokim Hashem will place an answer in my mouth, Rashi says, that will be able to answer your dream. That's the way Rashi learns. That it's a simple statement, I cannot interpret dreams, Hashem will interpret the dream. The Rabag learns, no, it's taka prayer. Yosef is davening. Yosef said, Belada, it's not me. And he davens to Hashem, Elokim Yaneh Shlom Pari. God should answer the dream of Pari. According to Chassidus, Pari, which we find a contradictory thing between various psukim. One pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Pari later, but again, all the Paris are the same guys. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes later to Pari and says, Hashem said, let my people go. So Pari says, Lo yadayti es Hashem, I don't know this God. V'gam es Yisrael leya shaleach. And the Jews are not sending out. So Pari says, basically, I don't know this God that you're talking about. So the question is, what do you mean Pari doesn't know God? It says over here, Elokim Yaneh Shleim Pari. God will answer Pari's dream. Even the Egyptian magicians said, Etzba Elokim, it's the finger of God. What do you mean the Pari says, I don't know this God? Shh. Hey guys. Don't close the door.
Yeah, just maybe move down a little.
leave the door open. We need air.
It's too warm for them, so they close the door.
Let me just one second. So the question is, Pari says, Etzba Elokim, here's the finger of God. Yosef says to Pari, the whole time, Elokim Yana Shloim Pari, that God will answer your dream. What do you mean Pari says, I don't know this God? What do you mean Pari says, L'yadayti Yis Hashem? So Chassidus interprets on this pasuk, and later on in the Psukim, there is the name of Yudke Vavke, and there is the name of Elokim. Like we learned many times, Elokim refers to the level of godliness that's in nature. Elokim, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem equals 86. Elokim equals 86. And the word Hateva, the nature, equals 86. If you look at the creation of the world, it says, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim. Always the name of Elokim. Elokim refers to the level of God that comes into nature. Nature. The level of God that comes into the world, deals with the world on the level of the world, that's the level of Elokim. Yudke Vavke, which means Mahava Creator, automatically shows that you're talking about a level of God which is higher than world. The supernatural. If you look at the name Yudke Vavke, that you're not going to find in these psukim, but if you take the name of God, Yudke Vavke, you will have, switching around the letters, you will have Hoya, Hove, and Yihyeh. Was, is, and will be in the same word. Which refers to past, present, and future simultaneously, meaning it's the level of God which is higher than the world, above nature. Parai, Goyishkeit, has a connection to the name of Elokim. Elokim, the level of God that comes nature, natural level of God, limitation of God, the level of God that deals with the world, Pari said, yeah, that's fine, I don't have a problem with that. When you're talking about the name of Yudke Vavke, so Pari says, Lo Yadayti Es Hashem. He didn't say, Lo Yadayti Elokim. Because Elokim Pari knew. From Yosef he knew Elokim Yahaneh Shlom Pari. He knew it from Ezba Elokim. Pari knew this Elokim. The level of godliness that's in the world, Pari had a connection to. You're talking about the level of Yudke Vavke, Pari says, Lo Yadayti Es Hashem, I don't know this God.
What about the other five names? I guess he has seven names.
Right? This, but the two main names, like we say in Ebracha, Hashem Elokeinu. Yeah. The two main names which refer to supernatural and natural, are the two names of Hashem and Elokim. So Yosef is coming along to Pari and says, listen guy, Elokim Yana Shlom Pari. The level of nature is going to deal with you. But you with Yudke Vavke are not connected. Now what did you want to ask?
I was going to say the paro from the Moshe and the paro from Yosef is the same person or is it different?
Some people say it's the same person, Rashi says. Some people say it was a different person. But the bottom line of it was that all the Pari, all the leaders of Egypt were called Pari. Mm-hmm. And that's why, by the way, as we mentioned last week, Pari wasn't even his name. Because you don't tell a king, you don't call a king by his first name.
Right.
Yosef is not going to say to Pari, Elokim Ya'aneh Eshlom Pari. He's going to say, my master Pari, or something. Pari was not his name, the Mefarshim say. Pari was the adjective, like the title for the kings. So the kings were called to their face Pari. Like we see Yosef did it here. Elokim Ya'aneh Eshlom Pari. So you see that the, what?
How could it really be the same, I'm just saying, how could it be the same Pari if in Moshe's time, because the people, he couldn't live that long.
He had to live a long time. That's why some of Farshim say, it was talk a different king. Question, when did the new king begin? I mean, there's a lot of issues there with this. Simply, it probably was not the same king, in the simple meaning, because the guy would have to be living a few hundred years.
While we're on the subject of the Elokim and Hashem, what is the other five names relate to? One is nature, one is above the nature.
The seven names of Hashem refer to the seven midot. Okay?
Right.
Kel is Chesed, Elokim is Gevurah, Yudke Vavke is Teferes, and then whatever the other names are, refer to the seven different attributes. Therefore, the Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu bumped into Hashem at the burning bush, and he said, excuse me, and Hashem started talking to him, and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, well, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, what's your name? So the Medrash says that, what did Hashem answer him? What do you mean you want to know my name? It depends what I do. When I'm doing punishment, I'm called Alukim. When I'm doing kindness, I'm called Kel. When I do mercy, I'm called Yud Kevavke. When I fight battles, I'm called Svois. Whatever Hashem is doing, that's the name. The name is the way you reveal yourself. So Yosef is telling Pare, Alukim Yanishlim Pare, you are connected to Alukim. That is your connection, but God is going to answer you. So basically, Pare wants to give the credit to Yosef. Yosef did, at that time, or today would be a very un-Jewish thing. He didn't take the credit for himself, like most people do. People take credit for themselves even when they don't do it. But Yosef said, it's not me, it's Hashem. Hashem will answer your prayer. So Pare starts repeating the dream. Now before we start, we're going to see, there's a lot of differences. We mentioned this last time. There's a lot of differences between the way the dream actually occurred and the way Pare repeats the dream. Many, many subtle differences that you have to, you know, basically keep an eye on both of the psukim, the way Pare had the dream and the way Yosef is interpreting the dream. There's a big argument amongst the commentaries of the Chumash. Some commentaries play it down. They say this is a style of Chumash, you change the words, it doesn't mean anything. That's the way some commentaries learn. Other commentaries, like you bring the Ramban, the Radak, say there's no special significance to the changing between Pare's actual dream and Pare's repeating the dream. But the Kli Yakar and the Zoya and the Medrash, and there's a lot of Mefarshim that say no, there are differences, and they go through the differences, why Pare said one way and the dream actually happened differently. But we'll see the many of the differences as we go along. So Pare, now that Yosef says, okay, I'm ready to listen to your dream, God will help. Pare says to Yosef the following. Bachalemi, in my dream, by the way, there's a whole chart here of all the differences. The Chumash has a chart of all the differences between the actual dream and the way Pare told it over. There's 2 pages of differences. He says as follows, Bachalemi, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the river, which is already difference number one. If you look at the dream at the beginning, it says Pare was standing al ha-ya'ed, on the Nile. When he's repeating the dream, Pare is not saying I was standing on the Nile, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. So the Kli Yakar explains what's the difference, and there's an important, so to speak, common denominator that the Kli Yakar explains, which explains many of the differences. The point the Kli Yakar makes is, the Nile was worshipped in Egypt as a god. So Pare is changing words not to be disrespectful to the Nile. And we're going to see a few differences in the Psukim, the way Pare is changing things in the repeating of the dream, that he shouldn't sound any disrespect with any disrespect to the Nile River. First difference, the Kli Yakar says, in the dream he was standing on the Nile. It's not nice for him to say, I was standing on my God. You don't stand on your God. So therefore, what did he say? I was standing on the bank of the Nile. Near the Nile. And all of a sudden, from the Nile comes Shava Paris, 7 cows, Briyas basar in English, robust, meaning heavy duty cows. Bifeis dayatoya, and very handsome. Vatirana ba'achu, and they graze in the pasture, in the marshland. Now, the Mefarshim explain, again, there's a difference here between the way it is. Pare, the way the Torah says, from the Nile came out 7 cows, which was the same. When Pare had the dream, it says first beautiful appearance and then physically healthy. When Pari had the dream, first the Torah says there were good-looking cows and fat cows. In Pari's account of the dream, he said they were physically healthy and then they were handsome. Okay? So he says, well, what's the difference? Pari, Pari wanted to bring out that the fat cows were a gift of the Nile, a gift of the gods. So therefore he wanted to say first, Briya is Basar, and good looking.
Why did they have to be good looking?
Well, what it means is what we're going to see in Yosef's interpretation of the dream. One means the hide was nice, and mean the other one, Briya is Basar, means that they were, you know, fat, one second, fat. So he says, during the good years, what does the interpretation of the dream mean? Mitzrayim is going to be the source of commerce, but here the emphasis in is flesh, that that's going to give sustenance to all the countries of the world. There's two issues. Number one, that Egypt is going to be the source of commerce. It's going to be the good-looking country, and also it's going to be supporting all the other countries, which is the fat cows. Yeah.
Although the people worship the Nile, they didn't use it for any other purposes, like bathing in it or getting from one end to
they did bathe in the Nile. You found Pari's daughter went to bathe in the Nile when she found Moshe Rabbeinu. Pari used to go to the bathroom early in the morning in the Nile, that nobody should catch him, that they should think he's a god. So it was, but nevertheless that was used as a blessing, you know, the holy waters that they would bathe in. But to say that he stood on the Nile, that he didn't want to say.
So they can bathe with their god, but they can't stand on their god.
Right.
Uh-huh. They can fish too. They used to fish too.
So I'm sure they fish there too.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Can you explain the difference between a daydream and a night dream?
Yeah, one you do during the day and one you have at night. That's the only difference I know.
What do you mean? I show you what a daydream is.
I didn't say what you mean. Okay, I just don't understand what you mean.
Okay, let's say like we have conscious dreams,
right,
in our own lives.
Daydreaming, when you say a guy is daydreaming, it's usually that they're just vertracht, you know, they're thinking about something else.
I misspoke. Let's just say a person has a dream.
Right.
Like he wants to do this in his life. In his mind, he sees it being done and he wants to do that.
A vision.
A conscious vision. When he's awake. So what's the difference between that and when you're sleeping? Are you consciously conjuring up that?
We're going to see, there's a very interesting expression in Paris' reiteration of the dream. When Paris says the seven skinny cows came up, Paris said, I never saw any such awful cows in the entire land of Egypt. Right? We're going to see in a few psukim, yeah? I mean, what was he giving a commentary on the dream? Pari. No. Pari, as we'll see the Mefarshim say, I'll give you an example. The Gemara says in Brachas, there's a few pages that talk about dreams. So over there, the Gemara says, a guy will never dream in El Pila Bakuva de Machta. Which means nobody will ever dream an elephant through the eye of a needle. Nobody's ever going to dream that you can have an elephant going through the small hole in the top of a needle, right? Yet, the Rebbe brings down in the Sicha that if you think about it during the day, you will even dream that at night. In other words, like we said, the famous story, the guy came to Shul one morning and was very, very upset. And, you know, the story that he dreamt God died. Remember that story? He said, the guy said, you probably thought about it during the day. He said, no, I didn't think about God for ages. Now, something you don't think about, crazy dreams you can't even dream, the Gemara says. Something that's so ridiculous, like an elephant going through the eye of a needle, nobody's going to dream. Yet, even those dreams, if you think about it during the day, you will be able to, you'll dream it at night. Okay? I'll give you another example. You have, for instance, we learned last time we were discussing, if you have a bad dream, you know, you go to a good interpreter, or you have what's called Hatofes Chalom, to come and, you know, get a good dream. But I'll give you an example in halacha. If somebody, let's say, witnessed a death during the day, they saw a car accident, or they saw a terrible thing that somebody died, God forbid, right? They saw it during the day. And then at night they dreamt about it, that's not called a bad dream. It's not called a bad dream that you're going to have to fast for, or have a, you know, the good, the bettering of the dream, hatavas chalom, because that's not a real dream. You witness something during the day had an effect upon you, so of course you're going to dream about it at night. It's not called having a bad dream. You understand? A bad dream that somebody, if they want to be afraid of or fearful of, is something out of the clear blue you dream something negative. So there is a concept of deep dreams. Every dream has dvarim betalim in it. Every dream has foolish things in it. There is a sense of truth to every dream.
What about if it's the other way around? What if it's the guy's dream and the next day it comes true?
That's scary. It's a nightmare.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
That's a partial prophecy. Some people, thank you, some people merit that a dream is a certain form of a prophecy many times. Parah's dream was a prophecy. Right? Yosef's dreams that we learned about before were prophecies. Yosef had a prophecy. Okay. V'nei sheva paris acheres, this pasuk taka. V'nei sheva paris acheres ele sachareyan. And behold, suddenly, seven bat cows, dales verois tayar me'ed, very ugly, scrawny, very inferior type, verakis basu and very lean meat. And Pari says, le'ra'isi chaheina b'cholaret mitzrayim lo'ya. I have never seen such terrible things, such terrible cows in Egypt, ever. Now, before we get into that, if you notice, there's another difference. In this pasuk Yutes, Pari doesn't say the seven bad cows came from the Nile. What does Pari say? Seven bad cows came up after them. When Pari had the dream, the pasuk says that the bad cows came up from the Nile. And pasuk Gimel at the beginning of the parsha, it says the bad cows came up from the Nile. Here, Pari doesn't say the bad cows came up from the Nile. He just says the bad cows came up. Why does he leave out again from the Nile? So the Kalei Yarker explains the same point. The Nile was the god of Egypt. He's not going to say anything bad comes from the Nile. So what did he say? Seven bad cows came. He doesn't say from where. Because he didn't want... Okay, so Pari didn't want to say that anything came up negatively from the Nile. But you know, it's one thing you see interesting, from the evil of these guys, you see a little bit of good that they had. You know, they worshipped these idols, but they had such respect for their idols that they would never even say anything negative, you know, to such an extent that nothing even negative about, you know, coming from their idols. It's the respect that they had for these idols.
Maybe it's good that they should say something, but like, they'll find out that they're idols.
Yeah, but they didn't think so. Right. Now, Pare, other Mefarshim learn that why did Pare make these changes between the dream? He wanted to test Yosef to see if Yosef really knew. So he deliberately changed things. He deliberately changed things that to see if Yosef would interpret the dream the way it really happened or the way he's telling it over. And Yosef interpreted the dreams the way it happened, not the way he's telling it over. Which made him even more impressed about Yosef's greatness. Okay, and he said, I've never seen any terrible cows like this. And therefore, the Mefarshim explain that the Kalei Yarker says, why did Pari say that I've never seen such bad cows? Because he wants to show that this is a dream that has a meaning to it. It's a message, not something that I saw during the day, and therefore I'm dreaming about it during the night. Okay, next thing also Pari says. Okay, another thing that Pari didn't say. He didn't say that the skinny cow stood next to the fat cows. In the dream, if you remember, the fat cows came up, then the skinny cows came up, and the pasuk said, "Vatamei the eitzel apodes." He stood next to the cows, and then the skinny cows swallowed the fat cows. Here, Pari is leaving it out. He didn't say it. And again, why? Either because he wants to check out to see if Yosef knows what he's talking about. But Yosef understood the dream as it was told. So in fact, Yosef understood from this, the Ramban says, that what's going to be, that the 7 years are going to be supported by the fat years. And therefore he says in Pasikov, the skinny bad cows ate up. The seven first fat cows. The seven first fat cows. And they came into their stomach. Meaning that they were swallowed whole. Like a snake swallows a whole. Oh, only a mouse. Bigger animals. Yeah. Anyway, here the skinny cow swallowed the cows whole. And we didn't even know kival kibana. You don't even couldn't even tell that the skinny cows got any fatter. They looked as bad as they did at the beginning. And they woke up. Okay, so Pari is, like we learned, the number of changes the Pari is changing from the original dream. And there's a bunch of other differences that the Mefarshim learn, but are very subtle.
Rabbi,
what?
Did Pharaoh have a different dream every night that she had interpreted, and this is the one Torah is to tell us, or it just happened?
Did Pharaoh have other dreams? I'm sure he did. He was a normal human being. He dreamt.
But this is the only one that...
This is the only one which is a prophecy that's relevant to the Jews. The prophets in scriptures had thousands and thousands of prophecies. But the Gemara says only the prophecies which are relevant for generations and for the Jewish people as a whole, those were written down in scriptures. Others weren't. I mean, to give you a simple example, Avraham Avinu lived 175 years. Right? Yitzchak lived 180. How much does the Torah tell about them? I mean, you got the story, the three angels coming took a day. Right? Arkadius Yitzchak took 3 to 4 days. I mean, how much of Avraham Avinu's life is the Torah telling us about? Very little. Okay? The Torah says when he was 75 years old, he left Lech Lecha, you know, he left his land. What happened the first 75 years? What happened the last years of his life? The Torah tells us very little about it. Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years, right? The first 80 years, we basically know nothing about Moshe Rabbeinu, except he met Gabi, the burning bush, and he was in Paris. The Torah doesn't tell us all things which are not relevant to the existence of the Jewish people in Torah. Okay? The Torah doesn't tell us things that are not relevant. I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God many other times. I'm sure Avraham Avinu spoke to God many other times. But something which is not relevant for the future of the Jewish people, the Torah doesn't tell us.
You mean Moshe Rabbeinu when he was in Pharaoh's palace?
Whenever, wherever.
Well, he seemed to have a revelation at the bush.
He did, but I'm saying that was the only time he had a revelation.
It seemed that was
okay. But it's not necessarily that all the things that we have in Chumash is all Hashem told Moshe. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says the prophets were told prophecies that wasn't relevant for Ledeitus. Leinichtava wasn't written. Because it wasn't relevant. Pari had a lot of dreams. I'm sure he had dreams. But nothing that the Torah finds important to tell us.
But in the oral Torah it talks about a lot more, right?
More, but the Torah doesn't talk about Pari's dreams. Okay, then he goes into the second dream. Va'eda b'chaleimi, and I saw my dream. What was the dream? In Eshava, and again, Pari is saying Chalemi singular. Because Pari understood this is all one dream, it's not two. He said, I saw in my dream, Vin Eshava Shibalim, 7 stalks, Eilis Bekana Echad went up in one, they had seven grains, went up in one stalk, Mleas Vitevis full and good. Vine, and all of a sudden, Sheva Shibalim, seven stalks, 7 ears of grain, Tsunumeis Dakish Stufis Kodim, withered thin, torn apart by the east wind, Tsemchas Acharem grew up after them. But Tivlana Shibalim Adakis, and the seven bat stalks ate the seven bat ears of corn, of grain, ate up the seven good stalks of corn. Ve'emer ala chatumim, and Pari says, I said it to the chatumim, to my magicians, ve'ein magidli, and nobody told it to me. Now, there's another difference here. If you look at what happened before in Pasuk 8, the Pasuk says, Pari called all the Chartume Mitzrayim, all the magicians, and all Chachameha, all the wise people. Pari says, what actually happened was he called all the magicians and all the wise people. In Pasuk 8, Pasuk Ches. Here, Pari says to Yosef, I only spoke to the Chartume and nobody told it to me. Okay? So the commentators explain, why did Pari not say the Chachamim? So the answer is very simple. Pari was not shocked that the Chachamim didn't know it. He said, this is not, wise people are logical. This is not a logical dream. Something illogical, logical people don't understand. So Pari said that the logical scholars didn't understand it, I wasn't surprised. He didn't even bother telling it to Yosef. What Pari was shocked that he's telling Yosef is that the sorcerers, the magicians, who are higher than nature, they also didn't understand it. Nobody could interpret the dream. That was a uniqueness that Pari was... He said, to tell Yosef that the Chachamim didn't know it, he said it was worthless for Pari to tell him. Because, of course, they wouldn't. Another thing, it says also that Pari didn't say that when he woke up in the morning, his heart was beating. He didn't tell that to Yosef either. He just said, I woke up and I asked the scholars and the magicians and nobody knew it. So, as the Mefarshim say, it was embarrassing for Pari to tell Yosef that he was agitated. I mean, it wasn't nice to degrade himself. So he didn't tell him. He just said, I asked the magicians and nobody knew it. Okay, so Vayerme Yosef Opari. So now Yosef is interpreting the dream. And he says the following. Chalem Pare Echadu. I want you to know there was one dream. It's not two dreams, it's one dream. And the Barbanel explains, what are the two components of the dream? He says the cows represent plowing. The stalks represent the reaping. You plow with cows, and the stalks represent the harvesting, the cutting of the grain. So Yosef is telling Pare, it's not two separate dreams. It's one dream. It's all about food. Mm-hmm. The plowing and the harvesting of the food. So that's what he's telling. It's one dream. This is what the Abarbanel says. As Asher Olekim Eisa, what God is doing, God is telling Pari what he's going to be doing. What does this mean? The Rashbam explains, Yosef is telling Pari, why did God tell you this dream? Because God is telling you what he has to be doing. Now, because it's important for the world, God told the dream to the head of state, to the king himself. In other words, Yosef is saying, because only Pare could be the agent of God to understand the ultimate meaning of the dream, because it's relevant for Pare to know how to run the country for the 7 good years and the 7 bad years. Now, the Mefarshim say over here another thing. He quotes from the Zohar, Why is Yosef again emphasizing God? He already said God is going to interpret the dream. Paro's dream was the night of Rosh Hashanah. Yosef the next day was taken out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. That means when did Paro dream it? Paro dreamt it the night of Rosh Hashanah. The night of Rosh Hashanah, which is the night of the creation of mankind, is a very important time for dreams. It's a more important message for dreams. So therefore he says, like we know, Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, right? When would the, you know, how much produce and how much parnasa we're going to have, everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. So Yosef is telling, that's why God is telling you this dream when you had it on Rosh Hashanah, because it's the day of judgment. So therefore God is judging you now for 7 good years and 7 bad years. That's one thing. Another thing he brings down, the Gemara says in Brachis, there are 3 things that only Hashem himself proclaims: famine, plenty, and a good provider. Okay, so therefore God is telling Gipare, it's alluded to a period near at hand, and therefore it's going to happen right away. So therefore Hashem is telling you the dream right away.
What is the 3 things I am saying?
Hashem says when there'll be a hunger, when there'll be a lot, plenty, and a good provider. And the Gemara learns it out from Psukim. So he says, Sheva paris atavis, the 7 good cows, Sheva shanim hena, are 7 good years. Vishava shibalim atavis, and the 7 good stalks, Sheva shanim hena, are 7 years. Chalei mechod hu, it's one dream. And again, he's emphasizing, this is all the concept of parnasa. Now, how did Yosef know that it's maybe it's 7 months of good and 7 months of bad, or 7 days of good and 7 days of bad? How did he know it's a year? So the Mefarshim explained very simple. As the Bechor Shari brings down, because famine in abundance, whether you had a good crop or a bad crop, is in a yearly cycle. It's a yearly cycle. So Yosef understood it has to be a year. It can't be a week or a month or a day, because you're talking about cycles of famine, cycles of plenty, so it's a good year or a bad year for the farmer. So it goes by the year. Okay, so Yosef is saying, Chalei Mechodu, it's the same dream, because it's going to happen quickly, but it's really one dream, not two. V'sheva aparis horakris varois, and the 7 bad cows, ha'elas achren, that come up after them, sheva shanim heimar, 7 bad years, v'sheva shibalim areikes, u'shtufes akadim, the 7 bad stalks, yu'sheva shnei rov, is going to be 7 years of hunger. So Yosef says, "Hu adavid, this is the thing, asher dibarti al par, that I have spoken to Pari. What did I tell you? Asher olikim eisa, what God is doing, hera is Pari, he's showing Pari. God is telling Pari what's going to be. Now, okay.
It needs a little bit more explanation.
For what? It's going to be one dream. What do you mean? Pari, Yosef's telling Pari, it's 7 year cycles. It's not 14 years. It'll be 7 years of good, 7 years of bad. Okay?
I have a dream. So it's one dream.
It's one dream.
Rabbi,
what?
Is it true that 7 bad years can be nullified?
That's what happened. How long do you think the 7 years of hunger lasted?
2 years.
They got postponed, didn't
they? Some of us, you want to say, got pushed off for later on historically. But the simple explanation is, Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, the hunger stopped after 2 years.
Huh? When Tzadi comes to a place, it flourishes.
That's what happened, especially when Yaakov came down. Yeah, Hashem stopped the hunger after 2 years. What?
Did a lot of people die?
No, because they had enough food from the 7 good years.
Now, I know last week you explained how he saved the wheat in the earth.
Right.
And I was thinking about that the other day.
Well, at least he had some good thoughts.
At night. At night. You dream time.
Okay, let's say year one, you do that, right? Okay, now, how long does that last?
We're going to see what Pari did. Yosef suggested he takes a fifth of everything that grew each year and put it away.
We have an accountant here.
I know. The Mefarshim go through the math.
Is it LIFO or FIFO?
Inventory.
The Mefarshim will explain the Cheshbon, a simple mathematical thing, why Yosef in accounting took away a fifth of the surplus of each year to put it away.
Well, we thought he was going to go bad if he put it away.
But he put it away in a way that he only knew how to store.
Oh. How do you store something?
We're going to see how you do it.
Freeze it. It's not sure. No, it's not. They didn't have freezers then.
I know, but still, 7 years?
Yes.
We couldn't do that. Hmm?
Huh?
We couldn't do that.
We could. Yosef figured out how to do it. Now, not there's two issues. Number one, Yosef knew scientifically how to do it because he was a smart guy, Yiddish cop. Secondly, some of Hashem Lina was taka a miracle that none of Yosef's grain rotted. And later on, we'll get to maybe in a year from now because it's the next parsha. It says over there that the Egyptians came to Yosef and said, give us food. So Yosef said, go do a bris. You want food, go circumcise yourself. So the people ran to complaining to Potter and said, look at this crazy guy you put up over here. He wants us to circumcise himself. So Potter says to them, I understand, didn't you put away food? You know about this, didn't you store food? They said, yeah, but everything we put away rotted. So Pari says to them, listen kids, you want food? Do as he says. If not, I don't care, you could die.
Drop dead.
So they all went and circumcised themselves.
These poor non-Jews, everything that happened, circumcised herself.
Yep.
Same thing happened with the two brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Brothers. They learned from his
brothers. Next passion.
Well, that way they found grain in the pyramids from the then that's still edible.
Yeah?
Really?
Now.
Could
why
be.
I didn't
hear it. It
was good.
Was Jesus?
Why did Yosef want those people to circumcise? They're not Jewish people.
We'll learn later when we get there. Chassidus has a whole interpretation on it.
But not everybody circumcised.
Well, those that wanted food did.
These are the Arab Rav, right? They became the Arab Rav?
That's what some people say. But the Arab Rav really came later. Okay, let's finish up over here. So he says as follows. Boys, 7 years are coming. There's going to be a tremendous amount of plenty in Egypt, an abundance greater than usual. And it says, the Mefarshim explained, not only the area around the Nile, which anywhere was irrigated, but the entire, it's going to say, Sava Godlu B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. He's emphasizing in the entire land of Egypt, even that part which is not near the Nile, will also have an abundance, more than ever. Then, v'kamu shava shnei rav achreim, then 7 years of hunger is going to follow after them. V'nishkach kol asava, they're going to forget all the plenty, b'aretz Mitzrayim. V'chila harav, as ha'aretz, and the hunger will consume the land. Meaning, this is what it means, the skinny cows swallowed up the fat cows, and you couldn't even recognize that they were still, you know, that they ate them up, shows that they're going to forget all about the plenty. Now it says, the Mefarshim say, even healthy people will become weakened by this famine, to the extent they'll never even believe that it happened. Now, Yosef is saying something over here, though, as the Akedus Yitzchok says, Yosef is saying, unless you do precautions about it, then this is what would happen naturally. If you don't take care of it by storing the abundance, what's going to happen is people are going to forget the abundance as if it never happened. And like it says, have you ever noticed people that had a lot of food at one time, then they go hungry? They forget quickly that they ever had any good food, that they're ever full. It's like human nature. Human nature is such that when people do you favors, that they forget very quickly. When they do something bad to you once, that you remember forever, and you not only that, you forget all the good that they did for all the years, that they forget completely.
Especially the Lebanese.
I know about the Jewish ones. The Jewish ones?
Yeah.
You didn't say.
Good.
Okay, it's going to consume. They won't even remember what happened because of it. In other words, it will be such famine that they won't even recognize that there was once anything good. Because it's going to be very, very strong and very, very powerful. Okay? Now Yosef is saying, this that Pari's dream was repeated. In other words, if Yosef is saying both dreams are the same dream, so why did Hashem repeat the dream twice? So he says, it's already ready. God's going to do it right away. Now, even though the Ebenezer explains both dreams are not exactly alike, one was animals, one was stalks, one was, you know, it's just different things, but Yosef says the point of it is the same. The point of the dream is the same. Okay. God's going to do it. God is going to start doing it right away. Now again, Yosef is again emphasizing the point that God is going to be the one that that's doing this. Okay, now one more pasuk. Va'ata yeda pari yishnovim v'chochem. Now pari should appoint. Now Yosef is giving advice. This is typical Jew. He starts giving advice. And as every commentary has, who asks Yosef for advice? That's the whole sin of the Meraglim. The Meraglim was told to come back with a report, right? The spies. They came back and gave a report. That's fine. That's exactly what they were supposed to do. What was their problem? They started saying advice. We can't conquer the land. Who's asking you for advice? Pharaoh asked Yosef to interpret the dream, and now Yosef is giving advice. Who asks him to give advice? So the commentators answer a bunch of answers over here. Number one, Yosef is saying, a second, the Mefarshim over here asked, okay, number one, Yosef maintained that this is part of the interpretation of the dream. Yosef, as the interpretation of the dream, why did God make that the fat cows were swallowed up by the skinny cows? That means the interpretation of the dream is that the seven good years are going to be swallowed and subfeed the seven bad years. The seven skinny cows ate the seven fat cows. That means what's going to be the food for the seven skinny cows, for the seven hunger years, is going to be the seven good years. So Yosef said, I'm not giving you advice. This is what the dream means. Why is God showing you in the interpretation that the fat cows were eaten up by the skinny cows? Because God is telling you that the good cows have to support the skinny cows. Which means that the 7 years of good is going to fill the seven... support the 7 years of bad. No, that means it's going to be forgotten. Unless, if there was something to be done. Another interpretation he brings on over here from the Rambam's son, that it wasn't, it was a definitive, and therefore the king would want. Yosef told the king, as a king, that this is what you have to do. Because you have to avoid a disaster. And also the Zohar says that Yosef had no choice to tell him what the dream meant. Why? So the Zohar says as follows. There's a din, a prophet who is given prophecy and doesn't say it. The Gemara says, Chayiv Misi, get killed. The Zohar says, the same way Yosef got the interpretation of the dream from Hashem, Hashem gave him this prophecy about putting away food. And if Yosef didn't tell it, he would be chayiv misa from God, so he had no choice but to tell it. Okay, leave it here.